God, we give you thanks. We thank you for this day that you've made. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the opportunity to come here in this place we call church and to worship you. We thank you that we could worship you freely in this place. And so, Lord God, as we gather here, speak a word for us again, a word of your great love for us, a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of joy, a word that will sustain us. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. Hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. It's good to be back.
Good to have you back, Pastor.
Every now and then you just miss a Sunday. It seems like you're away for a long time. But it was only a Sunday, you know. And just a couple of Sundays. And you know, SPR people here, they could check the discipline. I do get some Sundays off. Did you know that we do get Sundays off? Although some people think we only work on Sundays. Not anybody here. Not anybody here now. Other people, you're lovely people. But there are other people who believe that pastors only work on Sundays. Do you know that? Says, what do you mean we need a pastor? They only work on Sunday. It's not true. We work during the week also. And certainly here at Hicksville, we work during the week. There's always things going on here. And if there's not things going on, we're going to make things going on.
Amen.
Just going to stir it up. So it's got to be back. It's got to be away, and it's good to be back. And so today my sermon title is, Why We Worship Together. It's not even a question, it's a statement. Why we worship together, as opposed to, why do we worship together? But why, you know, when we think about it, we get up and we come here for a reason. So I read this sermon illustration, and it says, worship is a time to celebrate. And the writer says, I used to be a chaplain for the Astros and the Oilers when I was in Houston, Texas. After I'd do a chapel, they'd give me tickets. One time in the Astrodome, I watched Earl Campbell run over everybody, his own men included, to get to the goal line. When he got to the goal line, he put the ball down. The place went crazy. People were giving high fives and jumping around. The scoreboard went off. The same thing happened when the Astros hit a home run. It was a ringing shout because their man scored a touchdown. We all know that, football folks, right? I'm not saying that when we come to church, we need to give each other high fives or do cartwheels down the aisles. I think we should. But worship is a time of anticipation and expectation. We come together because all week, God has been knocking home runs and scoring touchdowns in our lives. Did God do a touchdown and a home run in your life today? He did in mine, because we're still alive, right? Worship is a time to celebrate what God has done for us. That's why we worship. There are many other reasons why we worship, but the first one is what? To celebrate. It's a touchdown God has done. When all is well, you know, you go to a week and all is relatively well, we know we have ups and downs. It's just like a ball player, they may fall down or get hit with a ball or whatever they do, butt their heads together, but overall they're doing all right. It's a touchdown. And when it goes fantastic, when everything comes together in your life, that week something, you know, sometimes we have a season where everything goes together, right? Just seems all, just everything is just going okay. That's a home run for God. And we should be cheering God. That's a home run. And when we come to church, we should want to cheer God and yay, yay God. Thank you, Lord, right? We should be excited. I have one of the, my thoughts about together when we worship. There are people who say, I could worship by myself. Oh, I don't need to come to church. I could worship in my house. Right? You ever hear people, I could worship alone in my house. Why do I come to church? But listen, many of us don't say, I am not going to watch a ball game. I could watch it by myself. Most of us like the company of someone else. When we go out to eat, go out to the movie, go out to watch a ball game, we like the camaraderie, don't we, church? We like to have that person that we could say, look at that. Yay, look at that. Now, I went away last week and I was up in Niagara and I really have not, you know, been under the boat that goes under, that's kind of crazy, you know, that boat goes under the falls and we all get on that boat, over 200 of us, and I think, God, if it goes down, I says, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to be with you. But it do go all under, and I was there with my grandbaby and a cousin, and it was much more fun if I was doing it by myself. Because I could at least talk to them. I probably would have talked to a stranger, knowing me. I would have been talking to a stranger and saying, how's, don't you see it's great to see? Because you want to what? Share in the awe and the majesty. Some of you probably wouldn't talk to anybody, but certainly me, I'd be talking to the Canadians. And we were from everywhere. It was like the United Nations. And the excitement of being there, of seeing water coming over that falls and the little, and those big, the big boat there just going in under that thing and the water coming at you, and you're standing there thinking, this must be a death wish. But anyhow, it is, because you know, one minute that thing can topple. You run from one side to the next. I'm thinking, stay on your sides, everybody. We don't want it to topple. You know, but why? They don't make you go on it, but you want to go, right? And everybody's screaming and taking pictures. Because we want to see the awe and the majesty of it, church. It's not why, that's why we went. Because you could stay on the balcony or the deck and you could see it and just look at it. But we go there. And then we go down that long elevator and then you go up the, on the American side of these steps all the way to the top and the fall is rushing in. And my little grandbaby, she don't have much sense. She don't know it's bad. She keeps yelling, closer, closer. And I'm trying to get her and the water is rushing in. I think that girl has a high, you know, she's going to be the woman Eva Knievel. Higher, higher, right? But, and I'm looking and it's flushing and she wants to go up and she's screaming. I thought, one gush of that water, that child is missing. But it's the awe and majesty of it, right? The pictures look great. I'm still talking about it. And my poor cousin who has never been on a plane, never been to America, she was just in so awe, she was speechless. That's what our worship should be like. You know, I'm going somewhere. Also, it should be like that. We are speechless of God's creation. Many of you have been traveling, haven't you? Around in summertime. You know, we have been going places to visit families and see things. And we begin, we are speechless, aren't we? At some of the beauty we see, don't we? You see a sunset or a sunrise, or you go to a part of the country, a part of the world you've never seen before. And you're literally speechless at the majesty and the awesomeness of God's creation. That God would create this and left it for us to enjoy, to see, and to take care of. We're in awe of it. Worship is like that. Worship allows us to say thank you to God for your creation. Thank you to God for the sunset. Thank you to God for the beauty of the world. Thank you to God for the beauty of the earth. Thank you to God for the opportunity you've given me to see it. There are people who work very hard all their lives, sun up and sundown, and has never been able to take a vacation. Do you know that? Can't afford it. Never been able to go anywhere else but their small environment. But when God has blessed us, it's not because of our hard work why we get these blessings. Because there's a lot of people who work very hard. Poor folks, many poor folks who are poorer than us, work very hard and can barely put food on the table. It is because of God's grace and God's blessing upon us. Why? We could experience some of these things. Don't you believe that, church? Amen. I always pinch myself sometimes. Remember that I'm a little girl, black kid from the Caribbean, and this is not racist, it's just true. This is where I'm from, Jamaica. And that God has opened up, I've gone to different places in the world, and God has allowed it. I'm no better than another little child running around right here or running in the Caribbean. But by God's grace, God has blessed me, and I'm always grateful. Thankful, God, that you would do this for me. I'm not that beautiful that all of this come to me. You could say, Pastor, you're beautiful enough. You know, you could talk back to me, church. Right? Or whatever. And I'm not that thin. Not yet. Oh, boy, I'm trying to get some feedback here. But whatever it is, you know, or, you know, that God has blessed us just because he's God. And you are beautiful and lovely, and God has blessed you all to live where you are, live what we have, and so on. So we want to worship the Lord. But most of all, we want to worship the Lord just because he's God. Right? And he's good, and he's good, and he's awesome, and he's great, and we do not have word to give him. But why do we worship together? To assembly, gather together. Assemble means to gather together in one place for a common purpose. When we come, we assemble, we gather together for what? A common purpose. What is that common purpose when we come in here? Is what? To praise God. That's our common purpose. All the other things that we do, all the other items that we take care of in the service is an extension of our belief in God and our worship of God. But the one thing is our common purpose is to praise and worship God. Right? Now, Hebrews 10 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the writer was saying, we also come to worship to what? Encourage one another. So here's some of the points why we meet together. Number one, I just said, we come to assemble because we believe God is here. And we could worship God and we meet God here. We're going to get to the psalm in a minute, because the psalm, that psalm is telling us why we worship. So we come here, and the Bible tells us in Matthew 18:20, it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Do you know that the Lord is here in the midst of us? Come on now, church. God is here. You can't see him because God is a spirit. And those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. But God is here because we're two or more gathered together. God is here. So we're excited. Number two, our worship is a way of salvation, because we hear the word, the preached word, we hear the read word, the word of God, and it could change our hearts. And if we have not accepted the Lord Christ as our Lord and Savior, we can do that. We tend to do that in church, right? Somebody hears the word and says, oh, I want to follow Jesus. So it's a place where salvation is lifted up and offered to you, or reminds you that God loves you and salvation is freely given, right? So, you know, because we preach not ourselves in the church, but Jesus Christ the Lord. We preach not of ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, 2 Corinthians says. And in him there is life. Number three, we find comfort and strength in worship. My sisters and brothers, do you find comfort and strength when you come to worship? Amen. Does it strengthen you and comfort you? You feel a little better? You stop thinking about yourself for a moment. Like this morning when we were singing, and we were so happy because we had live music. That's our heart's desire, to have somebody live on the piano. And I always call her Mrs. Kim, but you know, it's Pastor Kim's wife, because I don't want to butcher her first name. But I'm going to get it right one of these days. But she just agreed quickly to play the live music for us. And we were so happy. It made us so, you know, felt better, and it was wonderful. And so it gives us strength. But we comfort each other. You just heard about the death of Helen Sarker. And if the family was here, we would offer them comfort, wouldn't we? So we come to worship because we offer comfort for each other when the prayer goes forth, whether Zamzam or Akia pray or I pray, and the prayer goes forth, or whoever prays. You know, it brings comfort and strength, isn't it? God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Right? So we come and we could hear. So we come also, it is personal also for us, because when we leave church, don't you feel better sometimes when you leave church all the time? Just because you know that God is here and you've taken your burdens to the Lord and left it there. Do you know the song says, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. That's what we do. I leave my burden there all the time, and sometimes I'm trying to pick it up as I'm leaving, and I hear God says, leave it for a moment, please. The opportunity to worship God. Right? Number four, in worship we learn the wisest way to live. Through the word, through the Ephesians text, we heard it just now. How we should live. We shouldn't drink till we get drunk. That's what Paul was telling the church of Ephesus. I don't think Paul was saying they couldn't have a glass of wine because those people were a little bit of wine drinkers. You know, they were in the Mediterranean area. But Paul was trying to say, don't do all these things. Don't get so drunk and all of that and carry on. No, you need to what? Be sensible and live decently. Aspire to live a life that is holy and good. Why? Does God need you to be holy? No, we need to live right for ourselves so that we don't make ourselves sick. And all of that, we need to, and God knows that we pay the consequences for the things we do. Do you know we pay the consequences for the things we do? And he's saving us, he wants to save us from paying the consequences. So he wants us to understand, for the Bible tells us, another scripture from the Psalm, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That means the word of God what? Lights the way. But we have to read the way. And do you know we also come to church to hear the word? Not any of you here, probably not, but there's a lot of people who do not open the word except for when they come to church. There are many people who after they read it on a Sunday, they don't read it again during the week. Do you know that? There are people who don't do that. And I don't, you know, I'm not saying anybody here does it because you're all in your own prayer closet, you're all worshiping God, but there are folks who, they don't, when they come to church, they need to hear the word. The church is a place where we hear the word of God. In our worship, number five, we meet and care for each other. The mere fact of passing the peace. Whether we want to shake hands or not shake hands, or we don't like to touch hands, or we got to walk with our sanitizer and so on. My daughter is famous for that. You know what I'm saying. And you, whatever it may be, but the mere fact that someone could come over to you and says, the peace of the Lord be with you. Or God bless you. Oh, it's good to see you. It does not make you feel good. Come on, church. That's an amen.
That's what I was doing, Pastor.
Yeah, but yes, but Damjam was doing that, but she'll do it for 3 hours. We don't have 3 hours. There's a difference now. We just have a moment in church because we got to close up at some point. She'll just keep speaking to the folks till every person is spoken to. No, we got to contain it, Zamzam, but still yet. It's a place where we're speaking to the Lord. We can speak to each other. Somebody just comes up and says, oh, how are you doing? You feeling all right? Huh? In the peace. Good to see you. I missed your smile. Oh, my Lord. An old black preacher used to always say, come on, everybody. Find somebody to hug because you may be the first person that touched that person all day long. There are people who live alone, by themselves, don't have anyone, but somebody comes up and just says, God bless you. Good to see you. You're looking good. Whatever it is, makes you feel better. Is it just me? Don't you? I feel better when you're nice to me. I really do. You make me feel better. You feel a bit mean to me. I don't feel good, but that's all right. It'll pass. Because I always remind myself that God loves me. Now, number six, worshiping together, we set a good example for our children, those who are raising children. You know, when I go on a vacation, I come back, I'm a little bit, I'm lightheaded from the falls. Yeah? Lightheaded from the falls. The water, being there in the water. But in worshiping together, we set a good example for our children. Bible tells us, train up a child the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. So we set an example. And we worship God because we must. It is important. But we look at this great psalm, Psalm 111. And Psalm 111 is speaking about a reason to worship God. And Psalm 111, I spoke a little bit about it. He says, worth praise for God's wonderful works. We worship God for his wonderful works. So even though worshiping God is good for us, it gives us all the benefits, right? I just given you some of the benefits. I have a whole list of 10 of them, but I'm going to bring it in, right? Even though it gives us personal benefits, if you want to, any psychologist here, or so, you know, we think about ourselves, no matter what we say, we've got that ego and that thing, it's all about us. It's okay. You know, we know that we're worshiping God because it's good for us and it makes us feel better. It's all, you know, it sees a little bit about us and we so on, which is okay. As long as we don't forget the main purpose of our worship. We're praise of God's wonderful works. And the psalmist, Psalm 111 is classified as an individual hymn of thanksgiving. A psalm type in which the singer gives thanks for God's goodness in delivering him or her from various life-threatening situations such as illness, oppression, or enemy attack. This is what Psalm 111. The psalmist is so happy that God has been good to him. The words of thanks by this individual worshiper. So this psalm is about an individual worshiper. Do you understand that? It is about one person. You know how I know that? Do you know there are corporate psalms? And the corporate psalms always come up with what? We. We. But this psalm, Psalm 111, says, I will. Did you remember hearing it? It is an individual song. It says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. All right? It's an individual psalm of praise. You have corporate psalm of praise. They always prove we, us, right? You have individual corporate psalm of lament. As the psalm, the folks, just the psalmist and the congregation is weeping before the Lord, whatever has happened, right? Because they're psalms of David primarily, right? And then you have individual psalm of lament when it says, oh Lord, I have wept before you all night long. Will you not see my tears? Lord, will you let me die on my bed? Or things like that, some of the psalms. It's called psalm of lament. And they're individual and they're corporate. And then they're wisdom psalms. Like Psalm 1 is a wisdom psalm. It's a little bit like a Proverbs, right? But this Psalm 11 is a corporate, it's an individual psalm of thanks. So we come here to give thanks. The psalmist says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. That means while you're in the congregation, we're all in the congregation, guess what? You should be thanking God. Michael should be thanking God personally. Fern is thanking, even though we're here together worshiping God, but we're also what? Individually giving thanks to God for what God has done in our life. Because I know what God has done in my life. You know what God has done in your life. Zamzam knows what God has done in her life. We all have a reason to individually give God thanks. Don't we? Amen. Oh, praise God this morning. Amen. Right? We have a reason to individually thank the Lord. Just say, God, thank you, God. Thank you for being God. Thank you for my beautiful clothes from Marshalls that is cheap. Thank you for giving me 50% off. Thank you. Whatever it is, you know what I mean. Big things, little things, you know what I'm saying. Thank you. I'm going to close with something in a minute. And it says, verse 2, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. And he goes on, he says, full of honor and justice. And he's going down the list and telling, read the psalm again when you go home. And then in verse 5, he says, for he provides food for those who fear him. He provides food. Right? So we have something to thank God for, because everybody in here looks like we've eaten something lately, don't we? Right? He has provided food for us. We have something to be thankful for. It's an individual psalm of praise, for he has shown us his good deeds. And then at the end it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. So church, we come in a corporate setting because we are on one accord. We could take that individual praise. Can I praise God individually at my house? Yes. But when I come together with all of you, together when we lift our voices unto the Lord, together when we raise our songs, together when we hear the word, together when we say an amen, together when we hear the music play and we clap, oh, together on one accord, heaven listens. It is like a symphony in the ears of the Lord. It's like incense in his nostrils when we praise him. Ah, the songwriter says, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Do you know this morning where we were singing joyful, joyful, and she played it so well with her beat. You know, you have to keep up. Did you hear it? It was faster than we were used to, but that's how it's played, right? Da, 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 da. And you know that when we sang it, I could see the symphony in heaven. The angels were just, yes, they've got it together, right? Because heaven is listening, church. When we get up to worship God, heaven is listening. Do you know that? Yes, and we wanna give heaven something to listen. We don't want heaven to critique us. Ah, oh, that's just for me, of course. God would never critique us, Lord knows. He'd be full of work. We have so much that we'd be critiqued for, starting with me. But anyhow, the beauty of it, that we have an opportunity to worship the Lord here, together. It's a wonderful thing. So, Paul reminds them, the church, he says at the end, when he says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled, this is the part I want to lift up, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual song among yourself, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. Amen. That's why we come. We come to worship God because God has been good. Has God been good? Amen. God has been good. We're here. We're in America. We're free. There's problems in the world. Yet still, he continues to bless us. Bless us in this little part of the world. We could worship him freely. We could show up. God, you have been good to us. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Give him a praise offering. Blessings be unto the Lord. So will Church, you now stand on your feet? Go ahead, my sister.
Let us worship His Majesty, 176.
Thank you, Zamzam.
Kingdom authority flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem ring. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus, do not glorify King of all kings.
Amen.
Amen.
She's ready to play it again. She knows. That's what they do in the church I come from. They never play it once, ever.